Hello and welcome to this episode 60-something or another of Brashcast with me, Liam Pritchard, and as always, Ross Alexander.
Hello there.
So it's been weeks since we recorded last, and that's largely my fault. First, my computer blew up, then GarageBand blew up, and then I went to France to watch Wales play football. So you can understand why we're a few weeks late.
It was very difficult to record the podcast. We had to scrap it, the one while you were in the stadium.
Yeah, that was tricky. But beyond me screaming and shouting all the time, because I went to see Wales versus Slovakia, and when Wales scored the second goal, I not only nearly fell down the stairs, but I nearly dragged my friend with me. And I also uncharacteristically kissed my friend. It was on the cheek, but it was a kiss.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I'm not going to lie, I got caught up in the moment. But a very good moment it was. You know, if you're a Wales fan and you're watching the game, I'm sure you understand.
All that Cronenberg, I think.
Yeah, that probably helped. But I'm not going to bore you with football, on the basis that you hate football. And, I've had enough of talking to my wife about football and her just looking at me glazed eyes and just being, shut the fuck up, Liam. I don't want to hear about it. Like, she keeps telling me, she loves Wales, but she doesn't give a shit about football.
Yeah.
You kind of explained it in the same way that if Wales were having a sewing competition, for instance.
Yeah.
Like, I would, from a distance, wish them well because I'm Welsh.
That's kind of how I feel about football, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm not going to watch it because I just don't give a shit. So yeah. I'm not just going to jump on the bandwagon because I'm like, oh my god, have you heard how the Welsh sewing team is doing?
No. Sure, we'll see when it becomes an Olympic event. I bet you'll be such a sewing poser.
Oh yeah, I'll have my sewing kit on, the full works. You know, I'll have a dragon sewn into my bullshit jumper. But we are going to get onto E3. But before that, actually, because obviously the E3 is the big thing to talk about.
Yes.
And, we're going to have something of an E3 blowout.
Gamer Christmas.
Yeah. So, but before we do that, I just wanted to mention quickly, because Ross has already mentioned to me that he's not going to see the Warcraft movie on the basis that, well, it's had pretty dire reviews for the most part, let's be honest.
Bad reviews, and although it's, I like fantasy epics, it's a world that I've never bothered getting invested in.
Yeah, and I'm exactly the same. As anyone who's listened to this podcast before will know, I am not a PC gamer in any shape or form. I have never played a Warcraft game.
And you're
before.
Terrified of MMOs.
Absolutely terrified of them.
And
but
rightly so.
Yeah, of course. But I am a... obviously, I'm a video game fan, and, intrigue was always going to get the better of me. And first and foremost, I'm a huge Duncan Jones fan.
Yes.
Moon stands as one of my favourite sci-fi movies possibly ever. I mean, I absolutely adore that film. And even Source Code, which isn't quite as beloved, I thought was an absolutely fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. So, I was genuinely interested to see what I was hoping for the best. And of course, the reviews came in. And, this film's got absolutely murdered by the critics.
Yeah.
However, you'll notice, if you go have a look on Metacritic, the Metacritic score is 31, but there is a big disparity between the critic scores and the fan scores.
Yeah.
I think it's running at an 8.7% fan score. There is a name for it, I can't remember it now.
Oh, so it's even worse than the critic score?
No, 8.7. So it's really positive.
8.7%?
No, 8.7 out of 10.
Right, okay.
There we go.
You did say percent, and I was like, wait, what?
Did I say... Oh, 87%. Did I say 8.7?
You did, yeah.
And I apologize for all listeners, I'm just making things confusing. Needless to say, it appears that people actually quite like this film. And I am on the side of the people, it appears. I went in with relatively low expectations, because obviously the reviews have been garbage.
Uh-huh.
But and at first, there is the issue with the aesthetic of the film. Because obviously it's trying to take it from the game and put it into a cinematic universe. I had the same issue with the trailers. It takes some getting used to.
Yeah.
But once I settled into it, the film has a lot of problems. There's pacing issues. It's clearly building towards, future films.
Yeah, that's the kind of criticism. But I've also seen it used as a justification, which I think is a little bit out of order, where they say, this film is mostly set up.
I don't think it was... there is a lot of setup here, mm-hmm. but as a standalone movie, even if I never see another Warcraft movie, which looked likely, but after doing all the money ever in China, it looks like a sequel might actually happen.
Yeah,
but regardless,
that's right.
I enjoyed it as a standalone movie, even if it does leave you somewhat in the air. And I think a big part of that are the kind of... Again, I think it's ambitious, the way it deals, especially with the orcs.
Yeah.
They're not just monsters. They're just another side of the story.
Yeah.
Which is something they do in the game. And I thought the two leads, Travis Fimmel from, what's he from? Vikings, most famously.
Okay. I'm guessing big man, muscles and a beard.
He's not all that muscly. He's got a beard,
right,
naturally.
Okay. Yeah.
But he's not super muscly. He's just, more kind of Aragorn kind of character.
Right, okay.
I think he's Anduin Lothar, I think his name was. And I thought he was properly fantastic. Like, really charismatic, quite funny as well. But I bought him as a hero. And okay. The same with Tony Kebbell as obviously doing motion capture for, what's his name? Duraton?
Sure.
Duratan, I think it is. I thought, again, he was absolutely fantastic. If anything, the scenes with the orcs were probably some of the best in the film.
I have heard that. I've heard that the CGI is especially good.
Especially for the orcs.
Yeah.
As I said, again, there's, I'm not sure if it's the CG so much as the art design sometimes, which doesn't quite work.
Right. Yeah, yeah, because I've heard a lot of the set design itself isn't great.
Yeah, sometimes it does have that air of, you know, the Dungeons & Dragons movie.
Right, oh god.
A little bit too aware that it's CG. They're
not even Jeremy Irons could save it.
No, he really couldn't, could he? But this is a lot better than that film. But okay. Again, it's not all perfect. As I said, the pacing's a bit off. The story's jumbled. You know there's like a 2.5-hour cut of this movie, which makes a lot more sense. Mm-hmm. And some of the casting as well. As good as Travis Fimmel and Toby Kebbell were, I know a lot of people didn't like Ben Foster as... Medivh. I thought he was quite good, but then I'm a huge Ben Foster fan. But Ben Schnitzer, I think his name is, Schnitzer, something like that, as Khadgar, I thought he was horribly miscast. And Dominic Cooper as the King, he was, I thought he was just, like, again, not terrible, but just miscast.
Right.
And these were some of the problems with the films. But to get to my point, it's like, this is an ambitious... No, I don't want to say failure, but...
It's been, what, 14 years in the making? Something like that?
Yeah, and it hasn't quite worked, but there's a lot to like it. And put it this way, I went to see this the week after X-Men Apocalypse, and I much preferred this. Much preferred this.
Yeah, that's another film that at first I was excited about, and the more I've heard, I'm like, it's a real effort for me to go to the cinema now.
I mean, out of the two, I'd definitely go see Warcraft. I thought... X-Men Apocalypse was a pretty big disappointment, but we won't go into that because we do have E3 stuff to talk about.
I just thought I'd
get that off my chest for anyone who was kind of sitting on the fence like yourself. I honestly think, even if you didn't like the film, I think, you know, there's definitely positives to take out of it. And for, like, above all else, I think it is easily the best video game movie I've ever seen.
Right, okay.
Despite its
that's not an
faults,
especially high bar,
no,
but okay, that's fine.
It's not an especially high bar at all, but it's so clearly, I think, the best video game movie, which I think is something, if nothing else. As I said, it's the most ambitious, you know, one which really tries to successfully marry the video game world to an actual cinematic universe. Because, you know, Silent Hill worked in bits, but it went too far the other way. You know, it was too true to the video games and didn't really work.
Right.
Whereas,
okay.
As I said, definitely, you know, has its problems, but give it a go. Give it a go. China certainly did. but okay, we're going to get to E3 now. Apologies for my Warcraft rant. I just wanted to get off my chest. You know, Ross understands. I've been sitting, you know, hanging around with guys
just
who have
let
no
it
interest
out.
In,
just let it
in
out.
Video games for like 2 weeks. So I'm just going to get it all off my chest immediately. All right, two questions before we go into, you know, more detail.
Okay,
what was your game of the show?
To be honest,
question.
It's
spot on spot.
Well, it's there was nothing that really surprised me.
That's
kind of like the game that I'm most excited about has not changed.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to Dishonored 2. I have been I've spoken about my love of the Thief series on this podcast before.
Yeah.
And the Dishonored series are kind of the spiritual successors to what Thief kind of became.
Yeah.
It became a little bit more supernatural. But Dishonored 2, we got to see a lot more of that. And I was pretty happy to see more of that.
So that's your game of the show?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, Dishonored 2 looked absolutely fantastic. But I think that's kind of testament to how, as you say, there were no surprises. There was nothing there this year which really...
No.
Like, I remember going through the list and I was like, oh no, this all looks pretty cool. But there was nothing... I didn't feel like it had that wow moment.
I'll be honest, there was a lot of moments... I don't want to steal your thunder because I think this might be your favourite one.
Yeah.
But when Nintendo did their treehouse and just was like, yeah, fuck it, we're just going to do Zelda. Oh yeah, here's a bit of Pokemon, but it's a Zelda one.
Yeah.
When I saw that Zelda stuff, I was like, I really hope the NX is a console that I feel confident in purchasing, because goddamn do I want to play that game.
Well, the thing is, if you want to play it, I mean, it sounds like it's going to be pretty much the same game on Wii U and NX.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like, if you see the NX and it's not your cup of tea, you'll be in a position by then to pick up the Wii U for dirt cheap.
Right. And you say that, it'll still be at least $200 for a decent bundle, probably.
Yeah, but the thing is, I would say, even if, like, let's be honest, you know, the Breath of the Wind is going to be the last game of any note on the Wii U, if not the last game full stop.
Yeah.
But if you're just picking up a Wii U now, and say you spend £200 for a bundle with Zelda, I mean, I'd argue, based on what I've seen, that would be worth it alone. But you've got such a great back catalogue of games still for the Wii U. You know, like, obviously, it can't match... Over you know, a generational life cycle, it couldn't match kind of, you know, the Xbox 360, Xbox One, PS4, etc.
Yeah.
But it's one of those consoles. If people go back, if they just pick up the console, like when it comes down really cheap, when the NX comes out, they can come back and there's like 10, 15 absolutely storming games for that console.
I've actually just remembered that I got myself a 3DS. And I'm presently reaping those exact rewards on it. Although I forgot how little Nintendo discount their games, and that kind of blows.
That is the one thing, you know, you think, oh, it's great, I can get a cheap console, but it's very rare you get a Nintendo game for much less than full price.
And
it's the same, as you say, with the 3DS. Like, you can pick up a 3DS for relatively cheap, but you're not picking up those first party games for all that cheap. Like, rarely less than, what, like 20, 30 quid?
Well, I was able... The game I got with it was Link Between Worlds.
I love that game.
Which I have really been enjoying. I really like the art style.
I'm glad to hear that, because a lot of people shit on the art style, and when I played it, it looks terrible in screenshots, but when you, especially in 3D, I thought it looked fantastic.
I think it works, but that's because, like, I think when it comes to aesthetics, I'm a massive fan of Wind Waker, and I think that's probably the thing it's closest to.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between Wind Waker and those, like, old-fashioned... you know, like the kind of drawings you'd get in, like, the instruction manuals and stuff?
Yeah, have, like, yeah.
The big sideburns and all that jazz?
To be honest, it just reminds me of old-fashioned storybooks, which I guess is what they were going for.
But yeah, I absolutely... Like, that's one of my favourite Zelda games. I really did absolutely love that. But as you say, and this only really happens to me with handhelds, because usually with consoles, I tend to just buy them. Mm-hmm. But with handhelds, I often wait and pick them up, like, years later... And then, as you say, there is something pretty special about suddenly picking up, you know, whether it be a Vita or a 3DS, and suddenly thinking, shit, there are, like, thousands of great games to play.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, suddenly picking up a Vita and realising, oh my god, I could spend the rest of my life playing Persona 4. But,
yeah, sorry, that was me. That was me that deviated there.
No, that's quite right. Well, you are largely correct. I mean, my game of the show, it would be one of... Realistically, it would probably be Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, I thought it would be.
Because, I mean, it looks absolutely spectacular. It looks like everything, you know, I think a Zelda fan was hoping for from the new Zelda, with all the RPG mechanics.
Skyrim and Hyrule.
It does look like, you know, it does have obviously elements of Skyrim, but it still has that quintessential Zelda.
Oh, of course, yeah. There is no way that we're going to lose that.
No. But that looks, you know, that looks pretty special. But you were, you know, again, we were expecting that.
Yes.
You know, we were expecting it to look fantastic. It did. There were a few surprises, but it's still Zelda, and it was basically what we hoped.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I mean, I was surprised, and this is more of a personal one. Like, I love the look of ReCore, because ReCore basically reminded me of the kind of Japanese games that were coming to the 360 at the start of the console generation.
And it's
no surprise, given the director, of course.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It reminds me of stuff like Lost Planet and you know, Dead Rising, stuff like that, when it first came out. It looks like a Japanese game, but, you know, a kind of... you know, AAA version.
Like, through a Western lens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, that's what I was going for.
It's the Mega Man 2 Inafune. It's his project, isn't it?
Yeah.
You kind of get the feeling that he should have probably finished Mighty No. 9 before he moved on to another massive project.
We won't go into Mighty No. 9.
Yeah, we won't bring it down.
No. We won't bring that shitstorm into consideration. But as you say, it is that kind of Japanese game through a Western lens. And it looks kind of quite arcadey, which I like the look of. And I think I liked it a lot because it looked like nothing else. Like, it looks like stuff we used to get all the time. But there's nothing else quite like it at the moment, so I'm quite excited about that.
I don't know why, but it puts me in mind of Journey. Even though, mechanically, I know it will be nothing like that.
I see what you mean. It's the colour scheme, I think, and the hero. I can see where you're coming from. But the biggest surprise for me, we knew it was coming, but the one which really caught me off guard was God of War.
Oh, yeah. Dad of War,
of course. Because I thought I was done with God of War. And don't get me wrong, I've played and finished all of the mainline God of War games, not all the handheld ones. But I remember even Ascension, I was like, I didn't think it was as bad as some people suggested.
Mm-hmm.
But I went back and actually played God of War 3, the remastered version on PS4.
Yeah.
And that was the point where I'm like, I'm done with this now.
Really?
I'm done with the template. Like, it looked great and stuff, but I was just like, I don't want to play another Gears, God of War game like this ever again.
I played 2 and 3 in that series, and
yeah.
I remember, I think the start of 2 is when you're climbing Olympus, and like, just the scale of it was very impressive, and
yeah.
I'm a massive nerd, and that extends to especially like Greek mythology as well. So I found that super cool to be like, oh, I know all these characters.
Oh yeah. And as you say, like, it looked amazing. Yeah. The scale was fantastic, but we'd done it so many times, and
I hate quick time events. I hate quick time events. It's so boring, and it's such bad design.
Yeah. You still get in games, sadly. But my biggest problem was just like, all right, you can't go any bigger with the scale. And it just felt like the templates I was kind of done with. And Kratos as a character, I was like, he just can't get any angrier. He can't get any angrier. Like, his angriness is taken to the max.
Yeah.
So it's like, something needs to change. And don't get me wrong, he still looks very angry in the new game.
Yeah.
And it is Kratos, isn't it? He's just
It is Kratos, just obviously a little bit later. I don't know how much later. Presumably around 900 years or so.
Yeah, it'd have to be, I suppose.
But yeah, it was very cool.
And I love the new. I mean, of course, it brings The Last of Us to mind, the style and everything. But when
an angry man running around with a child.
Child. But the camera over the shoulder and everything, and I thought, like, again, I love the new art design. I love the fact that it's gone to Norse mythology.
Yeah, it's kind of grey, like, it's kind of overcast, and makes you think of, like, kind of dark Scandinavian woods, as opposed to, like, sunny Greek mountains.
Yeah, and I love that mythology, and I love the aesthetic, and I love the idea of it still obviously being a brawler at heart, but having a bit more to it. So, as I said, in a conference without a huge number of surprises, that was probably one of the more pleasant ones. Not so much that it was there, but that I liked it a lot more than I was expecting.
Like, if you were out of the country, I'm guessing that you probably weren't aware that a bunch of stuff leaked just a couple of days before E3.
Yeah, I was aware of it, but I hadn't actually
looked into it. Yeah, I had willfully ignored it, which is quite difficult to do when you work in a game studio and listen to a bunch of game podcasts.
Yeah.
But I did my best to avoid it, because I know it's kind of cool to be like, oh, E3 is so stupid, it's really cringeworthy. And yeah, it is. The Ubisoft...
It's the best.
The way the Ubisoft press conference opened honestly had me thinking, who the fuck thought of this? It was awful. Like, I'm not really a fan of dancing acts anyway, but this was just weird for weird's sake. But Google Ubisoft 2016 E3 opening, and you'll see what I mean.
Just
take my word for it. It was weird.
It was weird. It didn't really work. They had high points, like the stuff with the fractured butthole. I thought they did that pretty well. But you're always going to have hit and miss. I thought Sony's press conference was pretty good this year, in so much that they kept everything ticking along. Like, there was no bullshit sideshows. They were just like, game. Oh, Hideo Kojima for a little bit. Game. All right, we're done.
Hideo Kojima, welcome back. Welcome back to the games industry. Walk down a ramp that lights up at your feet. It was a little... Like, I know... He's a rock star of video games, but come on, I love Kojima's games, but the ego that man must have.
Yeah, the thing is, it was stupid, but I think they knew what they were doing. I think they knew it was overblown. I think because obviously he had been shunted. You know, Konami stopped him from going to the Video Game Awards.
Yeah,
and I think it was a huge amount of bravado, but still. you know, Sony are saying, listen, you know, we've got the best people working for our console. And, you know, Kojima is undoubtedly still the biggest name in video... Well, he's arguably the biggest name in video games nowadays. I know, obviously, Shigeru Miyamoto will always be up there.
Yeah.
But at the moment, in terms of, like, cachet, I think...
Yeah, he is kind of the rock star. There's not many like him. And Cliff Bleszinski's game wasn't there, so...
Yeah, yeah. And let's be honest, Cliff Bleszinski... I mean, yeah, he's kind of a big deal, I suppose, but he's no Hideo Kojima on the world stage, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, it's only Hideo Kojima who can come out and, you know, display basically fuck all and get, you know, a rousing reception. Although Sony seems to specialise in showing fuck all nowadays.
Yeah.
And get, you know, actually, that leads me into my next question before I get carried away.
Okay.
Which conference do you think was the best? I mean, obviously, we're not going to say Nintendo... Because
well, they had two games, and I don't give a shit about Pokemon.
Yeah, so basically, what I'm asking is, if you had to say who won, who would it be, Microsoft or Sony?
Difficult. Like it,
score draw.
Well, remember, I'm viewing it through a lens of I only have an Xbox One, and they had a couple of games that I was interested in. I think I know this. We'll just skate over this, but. We've spoken about how much I love The Witcher.
Yeah.
I got the special. I got two copies of the last special edition DLC. One for me to play, and the other one because it was the cheapest way to get the Gwent cards.
Oh, nice!
I love the in-game card game Gwent.
Oh, you play Gwent a lot, do you? Yeah. I keep hearing about it, but yeah, I don't know.
So I signed up for the open beta. I'm hoping to get into that because they're bringing a story mode to a card game, which I'm really interested in. Because if anyone can do it well, it's probably CD Projekt Red.
Yeah, yeah.
And
so was that at one of the conferences? Because
that was Microsoft.
Yeah, because I don't like. I mean, which so who won, Sony or Microsoft? Listen, let me tell you about Gwent. Fucking sick ass card game. I'm just like, I was because that's the thing, I've watched it in bits, so I wasn't even aware that they did this at the Microsoft press conference.
Right,
I just kind of kept looking at highlights and the best bits, but yeah, I found it, like you say, I found it hard to call. I mean, the thing is, I'm always a bit wary of Sony, and I think they played it up a bit this year. It was arguably the more impressive of the two. It probably had a few more wow moments, but once again, I feel like they're talking about games that are a long way off. Like,
yeah.
You know, Hideo Kojima and what the hell's that game called again?
Is it Standing Death or something? Starving Death?
Death Stranding. Death Stranding.
I remembered it was stupid.
Yeah, it was kind of ridiculous. I mean, I liked it because it's so obtuse. And, you know, it's bizarre that Norman Reedus has kind of turned into this kind of geek god.
I think Kojima has to get through his... Whatever deal he has with Norman Reedus, like, maybe he needs to just come out. I don't know.
What, as gay?
But specifically for Norman Reedus.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's like, oh yeah, we're going to do a bunch of mocap, Norman. Just get in this skin tight suit. In fact, you know what? Never mind. You're going to be naked.
You're going to be butt naked. We're going to give you a baby, and there's going to be dead animals, and it's going to be super weird.
Yeah.
But like I said, my issue isn't like I thought that looked cool.
You've got to wonder where they put the ping pong balls.
Yeah. God, that's a good point. They even mentioned they haven't got an engine for this yet. Like that game is not coming out for 2 or 3 years.
And no, of course, the Fox engine's Konami's.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I mentioned it last year. Like, I was excited as anyone to hear about Shenmue 3 and obviously Final Fantasy 7 remake.
Yeah.
But I'm like,
maybe not as excited as everyone.
Yeah, obviously not. But I was like, those games, as exciting as it was, I was like, we're not going to see those games for like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a year later, and Shenmue 3 and Final Fantasy 7 were nowhere to be seen at E3.
That's fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying they're doing a similar thing to an extent this year where they're showing you these games. And don't get me wrong, I thought one of the most pleasant surprises was Spider-Man.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Especially when I found that that's all in-game footage as well. That's all in the engine.
Yeah. And it really did look I guess the biggest surprise there is the fact that it was Insomniac rather than Sucker Punch, whoever thought it was. Because Sucker Punch, if you're not aware, they created Infamous, and everyone's like, oh, well, Infamous is a great game, but, you know, it's a step away from being a fantastic Spider-Man game. But then Insomniac Games, they made Sunset Overdrive, and the way you traverse the land, it's a lot more Spider-Man-y. And I'm
it's all free-flowing and fast.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm an absolute massive fan of Sunset Overdrive. Mm-hmm. And that trailer, I mean, you know, I know they say it's in-game, but always take these things with a pinch of salt. Course, see what it looks like when it comes out. But it
remember Watch Dogs 2. That was meant to be in-game.
Yeah, and the thing is, with Spider-Man, again, I don't expect it to be out for a while, but I like the fact that it's not linked to the movies. That instead of the MCU, they're creating, you know, potentially an MVU. You know, we'll start with Spider-Man and we'll create this video game universe, you know, and sprawl to all the characters. And of course, with the video games, they can throw in the X-Men, Fantastic Four, whoever they want, because they have the rights to it. Mm-hmm. All those rights with the movies are specifically linked to movies.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can go all in on that. So, yeah, that's all quite exciting. But again, there wasn't too many surprises in the Xbox, in the Microsoft press conference.
No, it was largely a case of, look which big games have come to rest on Xbox. Like, look who we've paid off to market at our booth.
Yeah, and the first party stuff, again, there were no surprises, but equally, they are talking about stuff which is coming out soon.
Yeah.
You know, there are release dates attached to pretty much everything they'd shown.
Well, I think Sea of Thieves is meant to be this winter, I think.
No, I then put a release date on that, and I would eat my ass if that comes out this year.
Yeah,
That's a bit of a heady claim. I don't have to eat my own ass. But I will be genuinely amazed if that's before.
Right, okay. I don't know why I thought that, but yeah, because that's probably that's one that I'm really excited for. To be honest, it's an MMO, and I don't know how easy it would be to get a group of four to go out and play this game regularly. But
well, that's
I love the thought of being able to play a game like that with friends. It looks like so much fun.
No, it does look loads of fun. And the thing is, I guess Microsoft this year, they haven't announced their big November game, because you know every year they have a big November game, but Gears of War 4 is coming in September. I think Forza Motorsport 3 is coming even earlier.
When's Halo Wars coming?
Halo Wars is coming early next year. Right. Dead Rising is coming in December. So yeah, there's no November game, but as I said, I'll be very surprised if it's this year. But
that Dead Rising announcement was awful.
Awful?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, really?
It's like, look how good our old games were. This one's pretty much the same.
Oh, no, I am so... I'm happy for a more polished version.
Really? All right.
Oh, my God, that was so... All right, whatever, dick.
It was just like... Ugh.
Oh, no, I was totally on... Okay, let's go through the Xbox press conference. Okay. Hits. All right, so Dead Rising 4, you couldn't give a fuck. I thought it looked great. But I'm a massive fan of Dead Rising 3 in particular.
It was just when you set it amongst all the other great-looking zombie games that were marketed this year.
At least this one's got a fucking sense of humour.
Well, yeah.
Man, Jesus. The thing is, as I said, I always liked the idea of Dead Rising 1, but I preferred the world and gameplay of Dead Rising 3.
This seems to combine
the two. So yeah. I'm quite looking forward to that. Gears of War 4, I wanted to be excited about, but I wasn't. Like, it doesn't look bad, it looks good, but I just wasn't super excited about
it. For me, that game lives and dies by its mechanics.
Yeah. Oh, well, and don't get me wrong, the mechanics are going to be sound as well, fuck. And it will, but it's like, have I had enough of Gears of War as... You know, like, how, obviously, God of War has been running longer, but, like, God of War's always been good, but I was just like, I've had enough of this template, I need something new, and they delivered something new, or what looks to be new anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Gears of War 4 looks slick as fuck, and I'm sure it'll be great, the mechanics will be fantastic, but it looks like Gears of War.
I don't see where you could possibly go with Gears of War.
That's their job, isn't it? And, you know, people could have said that about, sometimes it's a change of perspective. As I said, it can be something quite subtle, I think, which makes it feel new and fresh, but still recognisably Gears of War.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas that just looked like Gears of War with more explosions, with more destruction.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I'm going to play it, I'm sure it'll be great, but I just couldn't get as excited about it as I wanted to. There was no Crackdown 3, that'll be coming to Gamescom for sure.
No, I'm excited to see that. I know a lot of the guys who are working on that. And
yeah, that looks amazing, I'm looking forward to that too. Halo Wars 2... I just don't really care.
Was there gameplay?
There was the great CG trailer, which was absolutely
amazing. I remember the CG trailer looked great, but I can't remember gameplay.
There was gameplay, but it looked okay.
Okay,
nothing too exciting.
I mean, who chooses to play RTSs on their console.
I know. The thing is, don't get me wrong, they made it work. Like, I played Halo Wars on the 360, yeah. and it works. Like, you know.
Yeah, yeah, really I did play it. It was okay.
Yeah, it was fine. But the thing is, I'm the wrong person. I'm not an RTS guy, because basically yeah. I'm not a PC gamer.
Yeah.
And as you say, if you're going to play an RTS, play it on a fucking...
I just wanted a mouse.
If you want to play Halo Wars 2 on a PC, you can now, because of the whole cross-Windows thing.
You play anywhere. I am... Play
anywhere.
I know this probably doesn't appeal to you, because you're not a PC gamer, but I am interested in this, because it could help me properly transition away from console.
Oh no, you don't want to do that. Oh,
well, games are so much cheaper. The Steam sale starts today, and I can't wait to see how cheap stuff is.
I mean, I'm not going to go off on a rant, but there was okay, I'll just mention the last few games I want to mention before I go into this.
Okay.
Forza Horizon 3, I thought looked spectacular. I'm a massive fan of the Forza Horizon series. It looks more
Forza Horizon. Looks good, but it looks a bit more po-faced, which I was quite surprised really? At. I don't think it looks. And I'm not saying this, in a disparaging way. More in a kind of the feel I got from it. It didn't look as much. It looked closer to simulation than fun than I remember Horizon 2 being.
No, I thought it looked the part. They had monster trunks jumping over sports cars. They had a fighter jet or whatever it was racing into a car. I mean, it was all. Kind of jammed in there into a trailer, but I have no doubt that they'll keep the same tone, and I'd be very disappointed if they didn't, because Forza Horizon 2 in particular, there were moments where you're like, this is as close as I'll get to playing Outrun on the Xbox One, and obviously, this is set in Australia, which is an interesting setting, but the thing is, it's hard to get super excited because you just know it's going to be great, but Forza Horizon 3 I'm going to play the shit out of. Bit more of a question mark, last one, Scalebound. I want to love it. I so want to love it. It's a Platinum Games.
Yeah.
But it didn't have a great demo at E3, and I still feel like that could go either way, to be honest.
Yeah. That's obviously... Platinum Games just have never stuck with me, so...
Yeah, yeah, of course. One second. I'm turning on the light because I can't see my notes anymore. One sec.
Yeah, it was a case of... Not even the Turtles or Transformers could get me to play... Platinum game, which was
strange. Well, you should have played the Transformers game. That was great, but the Turtles game wasn't quite so hot, to be honest.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame. Not as bad as some people made out, but yeah, not great. Obviously, the big news out of the Xbox conference was the announcing not one but two consoles. Pretty gutsy stuff, I thought.
I
don't know where. I don't know which one it is yet.
Well, one is what 2017. It's like the winter of 2017.
Yes,
yeah, so it's 16 months away.
Yeah, Hank Scorpio will be with us Christmas 2017. So
I look forward to the memes of that.
Yes, I look. There'll be a lot of
one of those Xboxes memes, with a flamethrower.
Yeah, or with their jacket on backwards.
Yeah.
God, that was a great fucking episode. Don't get me wrong, the Xbox One S looks phenomenal.
Looks great. And they've lost the power brick.
Lost the power brick. It's supposed to have some form of, was it HDR capabilities, whatever it is?
4K stuff.
Yeah. I don't really know how it all works. But, I mean, and they, of course, with the Scorpio, they're talking about teraflops and all that. Although, it was pretty gutsy, I thought, basically them coming out and saying, listen, we are going to smoke the PlayStation Neo. This is going to be a lot more powerful. However, the big question is then, it's like, will it be more expensive again?
Well, how they've described it is, it is the most powerful gaming console ever made. Yeah, which is a claim that is safe, because PlayStation didn't release anything. So they can say it right now.
Yeah, but and I think
essentially they're saying, right, okay, your game, PlayStation.
No, I think, well, basically, I know the Neo wasn't officially announced there, but we all know the Neo's coming, mm-hmm. and I think everyone has a pretty good idea of what the specs are on the Neo. Obviously, it's well into production,
yeah.
and obviously, Microsoft are confident enough, like, all right, our console is much more powerful. The question is, will the Neo get too big a head start, and has the PlayStation already got too big a head start? This is the whole other issue now with whether I want to be buying upgraded consoles mid-generation.
Yeah.
But, it was pretty ballsy by Microsoft. The only problem is, will they completely cannibalize their sales? It's like, will the Xbox One S sell that well when people know the Scorpio's coming out? But I guess, people have the same problems with the PS4 and the Neo. So
that's true. It'll
be interesting to see how all this works out. But, as I said, I thought it was pretty ballsy by Microsoft, but it lacked surprises. Whereas, as you say, with the PS4, and I know we're tearing through this, but there's so much to talk about.
There is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we already mentioned God of War. I thought that a great Spider-Man, fantastic. It's harder to get my head around these, but a lot of people were going on about Batman Arkham VR. But of course,
well, there was Batman. Yeah, there was Batman and Star Wars.
Yeah, that was the other one. But one everyone seemed to be talking about was Batman.
Okay,
that's what the impression I got. Anyway,
I've heard that you play quite a lot as Bruce Wayne in it.
Yeah. You get to put on the suit and all that jazz, but a lot of it is detective work. The thing is, I finally did. Funny enough, when I was in France in one of the fan zones,
you solved the murder.
Yeah, I saw them. No, I got to have it go on VR for the first time.
Oh, wow.
All it was a video. Basically, it was, you know, you're in the changing room. I know, super gay. With all the French players. And then you got into a car. I know, sounds dodgy again. Was it in Zidane?
And you go to a hotel.
But it is... It's a strange experience because, you know, having the headset on, the earphones, and you're still... Like, I knew there were tons of people around me because we're in the middle of the fan zone. But of course, you're completely enveloped in this world, albeit briefly in this case.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the resolution, I mean, I'm sure it's better on some of the other systems. The first thing I thought when I put it on was like, the resolution's garbage.
Right.
So that was one issue.
What VR set were you using?
It was a pretty basic one, I think. I think it was one of the Samsung...
Oh, the Samsung Gear.
Yeah, but it did have, what's it called, written on the side. What are they? There's the Vive and the Oculus. I'm sure it had Oculus.
Yeah, Vive and Oculus. And yeah, then I'm sure obviously it had Oculus written on the sides. PSVR as well.
So it looked like a relatively fancy headset, but I assume it was Samsung Gear. But as I said, I thought the resolution was pony, but there's no two ways about it. It's like in one bit, they're in the change room, they pretend to throw water on you, and you can't, you know it's coming, but you can't have that kind of flinch.
Oh, man, it sounds so ridiculous.
Oh, it is.
Like Thierry Henry flicks a towel at your butt or something.
Yeah, it's not far from that. And it was quite odd, because I'm so used to, you know, like, you're just used to, with your entertainment, just looking forward. For the longest time, I just looked forward. And I realised, like, in a scene, I was just looking out the window of a car, and people are
listening. You can't forget to watch your back in the French changing rooms.
Yeah. Well, that was the thing I didn't think about. And I was suddenly like, oh, wait a minute, I can turn around. So I turned around, and suddenly I'm sitting next to Zinedine Zidane. And he was obviously, like, talking for a while, but I'd just been looking the wrong fucking way.
you thought it was just being narrated or something.
Yeah. So it's still a bit of a bullshit example, but I'm still not convinced by VR at all.
No?
No, I just can't. Again, but,
I want to ask you that because I am convinced I just won't be shelling out £1,200 for a new PC and a new headset.
The thing is, right, PlayStation VR is obviously the entry level stuff, but for it to be any good, you're going to have to get a Neo because games are going to be too powerful for the old PlayStation 4 in absolutely no time at all. It'll be obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
It still costs like, £300-400.
Yeah.
It's the lowest level of the bunch. Like, I haven't tried it, but I've heard the resolution's a bit iffy. And if you want the top of the range stuff, you've got to have a fucking PC rig worth like over £1,000. Plus, you've got to pay for the Vive.
£800 for the Vive. Which does come with all the controllers, but £800 is...
Who's buying this?
That's a brand new TV and a new console.
Oh, easy. Like, I don't know why people think this is going to blow up. It's not going to... Like, don't get me wrong. I can see it in the long run, maybe. But nobody's going to... Like, in terms of making an immediate impact, I'll be amazed if any of these do serious numbers of years.
It's the opposite market approach to the Wii.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting to see what happens when a second-hand market starts opening up. Because, you know, we've spoken on this podcast and you've been very vocal about your opinion on the prospect of the console market becoming kind of iterative. I can totally understand your hesitance, but I think the headsets are also going to do that. I mean, we're already on to, I think, the second version of the Oculus. I think it'll trickle down. It'll become more affordable to have a headset. I don't know how they're going to support it.
No, I don't know how they're going to support it. And as I said, you know, I can see it potentially in, you know, the long game.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone thinking that this is going to come out, like any of these are going to come out the gates and do huge numbers, I just don't think it's going to happen at all. But
very hard to demo as well.
Yeah, but Batman Arkham VR, as I said, loads of people talking about it. I have no idea because I haven't tried it. Death Stranding, we already mentioned. Mm-hmm. Gran Turismo Sport just seems to go completely under the radar. Nobody seems to give a shit about Gran Turismo Sport. It's very odd.
I don't even remember seeing it.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about Gran Turismo Sport either. Yeah. Everyone seems to be very excited about Horizon Zero Dawn, which...
Looks all right.
I thought it looked... the thing is... I'm a big fan of Guerrilla Games' games. Like, I've played all the Killzone games.
I like Killzone 2. I really like Killzone 2.
Killzone 2 is probably... No. Yeah, Killzone 2 was my favourite.
Yeah.
But I've finished all of them, the main line series, and I've enjoyed them all mechanically. Visually, they're always spectacular, but the story and characters are always complete balls. Like, yeah. Serious balls. Even like the last one where you thought, oh, maybe they're going to try and make a bit of effort not to make every character a fucking douchebag, but they were all douchebags. And the stories are so boring. And I'm, you know, of course I'm worried that Horizon Zero Dawn is going to be more of the same, but
well, again, no, I think this one's got much more of a narrative drive to it from the looks of things.
Yeah, but if it's the usual fucking narrative that they have, Jesus Christ, help us all. But it looks amazing. It looks amazing.
The combat looks very generic. It's like, shoot the glowing spot on this robot.
It still looked pretty cool. I love the bit when, like, the character, obviously it's more of a kind of, you know, you press a button for, like, a quick kill, but
yeah.
She kind of slides across the floor and, like, stabs a kind of robot dinosaur through the neck. I was like, that looks cool as shit.
If they can make the world a nice place, if they can make it, like, a fun place to be, I think that is half the battle with that game. Because, they know they've got aesthetic down, and the kind of combat system looks like it could be quite malleable. Like, you can have really good boss fights as well as just really enjoyable, like, because there's like it looks like there's a salvaging mechanic to it as well. So there's like a survival element,
kind of almost like Monster Hunter almost.
Yeah a little bit. So I think they've probably got the mechanics down pat, although I don't know if personally they appeal to me especially, but I think the prospect of it being like, it's post-apocalyptic, there's animals, but they've basically, nature has taken it back, but then the nature is also mechanical. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the deal is. It's like almost like somebody created robot dinosaurs, and then everyone else was like, you know, most people died perhaps.
Yeah.
And then the people who have come back, like, they don't have technology because the technology has taken over almost.
Yeah.
So they've learned to live primitively, I guess, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a touch of... The Dark Tower series about it, which is quite strange, but without the narrative bonkersness of that. But like you say, I've still got my reservations there about the story, about how the gameplay is going to hold up over an extended period, how the open world will work. But I just thought it looked impressive. I just thought there's a lot of potential there.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, like, I'm sure it'll be great. I love Ico. I love Shadow of the Colossus. But at this point, like, I don't give a fuck about Last Guardian unless I'm playing it.
Yep.
Until, like, I just don't give a shit anymore.
Yep.
I just do not care. I'll wait until it comes out and I'll make my mind up then.
People might be upset when I say this, and I know the game is, what, like, 8 years old at this point. I think it looks really bad. Like, art style looks fine.
Yeah.
But visually, like, the textures look really bad.
Yeah, it does have that... those kind of little bits of visual flair that that they're famous for.
Uh-huh.
Like the way the boy runs, like in the way kind of certain, you know, the bird dog kind of moves. And like, I like all those visual touches, but from a technical standpoint, no, it looks like a slightly flashy PS3 game, which is exactly what it is. This was a PS3 game. Mm-hmm. They've obviously upscaled it for the PS4, but this isn't going to be a technical powerhouse. There's no two ways about it. This game's going to have to live and die by its mechanics and hopefully its fantastic... Well, I say narrative in their way, you know. I'm sure, you know, if they can tell a story without too many words, which is their speciality. Mm-hmm. But, you know, as I said, when it comes out, I'm looking forward to playing it. But at this point, I don't want to say any more. Just give me the game when it's out. And finally, Detroit Become Human. It looked fine, but after, like, I'm not as mad about Heavy Rain as other people. I thought Beyond Two Souls was pretty average.
I never bothered with Beyond Two Souls, but I did. Yeah. I did enjoy Heavy Rain. I actually went back and played it again, maybe a couple of years ago, and it's actually not too bad. It does have a heavy reliance on QuickTime events.
Yeah.
But I think
some of the dialogue
I think
is
this
shit.
Might be different. I don't know.
No, and again, I'm sure it'll be interesting, but it's another one of those games I'm not going to get excited about until I'm playing it.
I am just worried that David Cage will be like, oh, it's all about emotion.
It's all about
this emotion. Game is all about emotions.
The thing is, I spent a week in en français, and every time I try and do the French accent, I can't help but say Paul Pogba. It's just one of the most fun things to say in the world. And as what is it called? Family Guy has taught us, there's nothing better to say than Ashton Kutcher. So, I've actually got to stop trying to be a douche, because the only thing...
You don't have to try, buddy.
No, I just am, of course. But even like when you're out in France, you make like that token gesture of saying like Messi at the end.
Yeah.
You know, at least you say that. And of course, when you come back, and I get that in a lot of places when I go, is that you have to stop yourself from saying Messi or saying like hi or arigato or you know whatever else wherever you've been or hamsamnida like from Korea. And I don't want to be that douchebag. You know, when you come home and I'm in fucking Burger King or something. Like, Messi! You are such a dick. All right, I'm going to move away from that very quickly. All right, that's it for PS4 and Xbox One. Nintendo, we've already mentioned.
Yes. Are you excited for the new Pokemon game?
Not particularly.
Okay.
The thing is, Pokemon, I feel like I should like those games. And I try a lot of them. And I like them for a bit, but I get bored because I realise I'm a grown-ass man. So, you know, what are you going to do? Of the multi-platform stuff, what I'm essentially going to do is cut this very briefly into a winners and losers list. It's a very black and white list.
Okay.
But, you know...
Is this something that you have preordained, or are we going to put them in the right pile?
I have preordained.
Okay.
But I am going to leave it up to you to disagree with me completely.
Okay.
So, okay. In the winners category first.
Okay.
Titanfall 2.
Yeah.
That's the response I was looking for. I love, as you know, Titanfall is one of my favourite multiplayer shooters of all time, mm-hmm. if not my favourite multiplayer shooter of all time. Now it's got a single player content as well.
Yeah.
On top of that, it'll have loads more, you know, maps and game modes.
And you'll get a little bit of context. I've played maybe 5 hours of Titanfall 2, Titanfall, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, but I had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
It's one of the few that I felt like I got, and again, I'd be terrible now because it's been months, but I got to a point where I felt competent, which is a rare treat for me with online shooters, because I rarely play...
You have every system and all the games.
Yeah, and it's tricky to kind of commit to a shooter, and it's like if I played Call of Duty or Battlefield, after a while, I get to a level, I'm like, all right, I'm holding my own.
Yeah.
That's probably the best thing I can usually say is I'm holding my own. I'm kind of inching towards a kind of 50-50 kill-death ratio. But with Titanfall, I was like winning games, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
You know, like any other shooter, you can have a bad round, and I can get like my ass whooped. But I was.
I haven't had those kind of days since Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2.
Oh, I've had so few. The only two games I can genuinely say are Titanfall and what was Ghost Recon for the 360. The first.
Oh, Graw. Yeah, those games were great.
Those games are great, and me and my friends played that a lot. One of the few games my friends actually played. But so Titanfall 2, we're agreed. Looks fantastic. Can't wait for that.
Yes.
One of my most look forward to games of the year.
Yes.
I'm going to say this because I'm sure you'll agree. Skyrim. So, like, it's not for me, but everybody seems to love the look of it. You know, it's HD Skyrim, or Super HD Skyrim, whatever you want to call it. I couldn't give a shit. But everyone else seems
to. You have to admit, it looks great.
It looks nice, but you know what it's going to be like? As soon as it's in motion and you run into a fucking retarded NPC, it'll just look like a really glossy retard. I don't want to be mean, but they're just the worst. They're just the worst.
Yeah, fair enough.
But again, I'm sure it'll be super successful. Inside, by the makers of Limbo, I'm like, yep. Fucking ready for that.
I didn't really feel like I saw enough of it to know.
I feel like I saw... I don't know what it is, but I loved the tone. I just thought, like, whatever this is, I want to play it now. And I think because I've heard the people who have played it
mm-hmm.
say it's amazing, so I'm like... And I love Limbo.
Yeah.
So that's what... I love the mystery behind that. It's one of the few games where you can get away with showing me fuck all. I'm like, oh yeah, totally want to play that.
Yeah, plus, you know, it's an indie game, so it'll be, what, like 15 quid tops?
Yeah. So I'm totally ready for that. South Park, the Fractured Butthole.
Yeah. It doesn't actually look like more of the same, which I, like, it looks like the story will still be great, yeah. but there is actually a robust combat system in there, which was... Totally. I got bored by the end of Stick of Truth. Like, I was there for the story because the combat was really bad. By the, well, not bad, but it was just really repetitive.
That's one of the things I feel like in both ways. Because obviously, for people like you said, such as yourself, where you're like, I got bored of the combat and it was just there for the story. I enjoyed the combat within the confines of that universe. I was just like, yeah, this is a 10-hour RPG. I don't need a huge amount of depth. This was totally working and it just flew by and I absolutely adored it.
No, I really enjoyed the game. It's by the end, what pulled me to the end was how funny it was and getting to the end of the story.
But as I said, like, I'm worried with this. I'm like, am I going to get kind of bogged down with subclasses and all these other abilities? Like, probably not. It'll probably work for the best, but I'm worried that maybe they'll go too far the other way and the combat system will be too complex. But hopefully it'll give you that option where, you know, you can dig in if you want to, but you can also approach it a little bit more surface level and just kind of like get through it. Because I don't play like a South Park RPG for super deep systems. I want to enjoy the game and enjoy the narrative, of course. But yeah, I'm so looking forward to that. You already mentioned Dishonored 2, so we won't go into that. That looked fantastic.
Good. It's good to know you're on board with that one.
Yeah, totally.
Did you play and enjoy the first one?
I did. I'm not as mad about it as other people, but I enjoyed it, and I thought this one looked more interesting. And I like the two character thing, and it's almost like two different games, almost like with the different abilities and stuff. But yeah, I'm on board for that. And the last one, even though I'm not super excited about it, it's like everyone's bumming it, so obviously it's going down super well, is Battlefield 1.
Okay, yeah, for me, I'm kind of on board. Like, the spectacle looks incredible, but if you've played, in fact, you have played Battlefield before, I know, because we've spoken about
I've played many Battlefield games.
You don't like, and I totally agree, spending half your game being killed and running back to the battle to be sniped before you can even get back in.
Yeah, it's a great game, but it's one of those ones, again, you need to commit to. Once you commit and it clicks, like, it's a fantastic game, and if you can find like a group of friends, it's brilliant, but it's not a great drop in and out multiplayer shooter. I'm sure there's a
agree. There are specific maps that are better suited to it.
And it'll be great at what it does, I have no doubt. And I'm as interested as anyone by the First World War setting, but I think generally speaking, obviously they're doing pretty well, and there's a lot of hype for this game. And
I'm definitely interested.
I'm just hoping for a half decent single player campaign. It's like, come on, Dice, you've had enough chances now. Fucking get at least half right, just half right. Every campaign has been boring as shit. So, you know, get that sorted.
And did you say that that's your last one in the winners category?
Yes, it is.
I have two that I'd like to add to that.
Okay, go for it.
One is mostly because the possibilities make it sound really cool, and that is Ghost Recon Wildlands.
That's in my losers category.
Right, okay.
Yeah, no, go for it.
I think that if you can find a good group to play that with, that game could be incredible. Because it could be like the best bits of Far Cry, which is, you know, when you break into the compound and you try and do it stealthy-like.
Yeah.
That was always my favourite bit of Far Cry games.
I love the idea of you giving this kind of military speech. It's like, go in there and kill everyone. But do it, you know, stealthy-like, for fuck's sake.
Stealthy-likes, you know.
Jesus, sort of like
smoking a cigarette, as I say it.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. Like, it has potential, but I thought, visually, it looked poorer this year.
It didn't look great, yeah.
And I just don't think it looked as exciting as I was hoping. It didn't look bad, but I feel like it's one of those games where it's gone backwards in terms of buzz.
It put me in mind of a Hitman game that you can play with your friends, and that notion is what appeals to me. I think playing it solo, it would probably not be great.
Yeah, and maybe that's my problem, because I know I'll generally play it. Like, if I'm going to play these games, it's more like I'm going to play it solo. And I just thought, while it still looks fine, I thought it was one of the games which, as I said, I think it's got less buzz now than it did a year ago.
Yeah, so, well, that's fair enough. Yeah. I'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I'll probably pick it up cheap and play it with friends.
Yeah.
The other one I wanted to suggest is We Happy Few.
Oh, I didn't add that to the list, actually.
Which is, it's a little bit Bioshocky.
Yeah, I should have added that, actually.
It looks very creepy in a very British way.
I love the idea with the drugs.
Yeah, you know,
everything looks amazing, and then you stop taking your drugs and you realize it's fucking horrifying. And everybody's
it's very dystopian, a little bit 1984 by the looks of it.
Yeah, totally.
If you haven't seen it, I think the me talking about it isn't gonna really compare to how good that trailer was.
No, the only thing I have an issue with, and don't get me wrong, I thought it looked fantastic, and I think there's a lot of buzz about this game, but the fact that, and obviously I assume this is a budget issue, is that it seems to start off really narratively driven, but then from what I hear, it turns into a procedurally generated survival game. So I'm not sure how that's going to work in the long run, and maybe I was kind of a little bit put off by that. But no,
that totally sounds like my thing.
Like, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like, I just think I prefer like a more narratively driven experience.
Yeah.
But I would have added that to the winners list. I just totally forgot because I was making this list like 20 minutes ago, or 20 minutes, not 20 minutes ago. Like while I was doing the podcast, 20 minutes before the podcast.
We are professionals, guys. Okay.
Yeah, of course.
Don't try this at home.
No, don't try to podcast at home. Jesus Christ, you'll end up stabbing yourself in the face.
Like, I'm in a hyperbaric chamber right now.
The first time I tried to do a podcast, I stabbed myself in the face. I have a horrendous scar. You've got to be willing to put up with these kind of things.
Yeah.
Losers list.
Okay.
Beyond the fact that I had Ghost Recon Wildlands on there, a bit of a controversial one here. I've actually put Mass Effect Andromeda on there. The reason is stop fucking teasing it. Like, how long is this going to go on for? I don't want to see some kind of like half-assed. Like, it looked cool what we saw, but surely we need to see a bit more than that by now. It just feels like we're being, you know, like when you get dragged along for like a little bit too long, and you're just like, there's a balance. You can either show too much or you don't show enough, but you're aware of the game. Like, they keep showing you these tiny little bits. You're like, oh, stop being such a teasy prick. And so, yeah, Mass Effect, don't get me wrong, I'm sure it'll be amazing.
I will. That'll be a day one purchase for me, most likely.
Yeah, and it'll be a day one. Like, I love all three Mass Effect games, and I'm going to play the shit out of this, and I'm sure it'll be brilliant. But I was just like, really? You're going to do, like, a bullshitty tease a fucking again?
It's the second year that EA have done this.
So I thought...
It was annoying last year, and it was even worse this year when they were like, look at all these people who are making Star Wars games. You'll never see the game, or it's at least not for a long time. But look, here are some people talking about it.
I guess they've got to remind us out there, but at this point, surely they could do it. Excuse me.
I'm totally there with you. I'm yawning about it.
Yeah, yawning about Mass Effect. But again, we'll both buy it on day one. We're both
I like what they're talking about. Yeah. I like the thought of being a pioneer in space. Yeah, that sounds so exciting.
But we've had talk for like 3 fucking years now. Let's get over that. Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, just because it doesn't seem to be much... I don't know, it's just Call of Duty in space. I'm going to play it. I'll buy it. I'll finish it, I'm sure. But I just can't get excited about it.
We didn't do a games you've been playing, but I was able to pick up Advanced Warfare for a tenner.
That's a good game.
Thoroughly enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
I played it through in a weekend. Shocking twist, Kevin Spacey is the bad guy. Who would have seen it?
I know.
But there were bits where the game, there's quite a lot of bits where the game kind of stops for a moment. While you walk to the next area, sometimes getting dialogue on the radio, whatever. Santorini in Greece. Did you finish it?
Yeah.
That level in Santorini in Greece, I was like, this is amazing. I just want to sit down and have a coffee.
Yeah, it does look absolutely amazing. And that's the thing, you know. The thing is, again, it's another one of those games. Like, I can't get super excited about it because it's Call of Duty again. But you know, when you play it, it is going to be polished as fuck. And for all you say about like single player campaigns, yeah, they're sure. But I would take a Call of Duty campaign over a Battlefield campaign any fucking day of the week.
No, I agree.
And the thing is, like the last one in particular, like the last one was absolutely bonkers towards the end. And I'm sure this will have its interesting moments, but I just felt like coming out of E3, there were very few people talking about it. The same with, I know some people go mad for Modern Warfare. It's a remaster, but I played Modern Warfare before. I don't feel like I need to play it again.
It's nostalgia is what that is.
No, nostalgia's powerful, but I mean sometimes you get all excited about it and then you play it and it's got that new coat of paint, but you can still see you start playing like, oh wait, this is a bit old. It was like when I started playing Twilight Princess. I was like, oh man, this fucking intro goes on forever and I'm not sure if I can fuck. Sometimes it works. Like Wind Waker, playing that again, I was just like, oh, I love this even more than ever. Like, it looked amazing. I got it quite recently, Final Fantasy X, the remaster for. And I started playing that and I was just like, oh no, even with the new coat of paint, it just feels a bit old.
That game was the beginning of the end for that franchise for me, sadly.
Well, you know I love 13, so that's a whole other conversation.
Did you put 15 in your losers list?
I did. Okay. And don't get me wrong, looks amazing, but I've fucking had enough of seeing this game.
Like, that for me, it was that trailer. It was like you're fighting a giant hand, and it just looks like you're button mashing on a hand. Looks like the worst. It didn't look fun.
Oh, I thought I love the look of it, and I love, you know, the bit with the car when it just takes off and turns. I'm just like, oh, that looks fucking.
I'm sure the world will be great, and you know, there's probably a lot to love. I imagine 13 had a great world.
Gorgeous as well.
It does look really good following a boy band round on tour. But,
such a handsome set of boys.
Oh my god, there is so much. Like, that franchise, I look at it and I'm like, I know this sounds really entitled, but it's like, what did they do with my Final Fantasy? Like, why do these games not appeal to me anymore?
I know a lot of people feel like that, but I honestly think this game could be pretty special. But it remains in the losers list, obviously for very different reasons. You're not that first. I think it looks amazing. But again, it's none of those games like, fuck showing me stuff now. Just give me the game. Give me the game. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. These are Quake Champions. That held no interest for me whatsoever.
It depends. If it fills a niche for some people, that fast-paced action shooter.
Yeah,
I imagine this was in production around the same time that Doom was in production.
But there's something about like the trailer. It just didn't grab me at all. Mm-hmm. But I'm not a huge Quake fan, so whatever. Take what
it felt very anachronistic. It felt like it was something from the early 2000s.
Yeah. But that, like, I couldn't give a shit about either way. The big disappointment for me was probably, like, Resident Evil 7 just didn't grab me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean...
It doesn't look like a Resident Evil, but
which is
given the way that franchise has been going, maybe it's good to kind of dial it back a little bit.
Yeah, the first person, it's gone so far away. Like, don't get me wrong, it needed to make changes after Resident Evil 6, but this, to me, it just didn't look... Obviously, it had little elements of it, but it just didn't feel like Resident Evil to me. And, you know, I hope it's fantastic, but I just don't know how that's going to work in the long run.
Imagine how glad they were when PT was like, yeah, we're not going to do Silent Hills anymore. Imagine how glad they were
to have a
game that looked almost identical.
I wonder if it was in response to PT or whether they had it in development beforehand. I don't know.
No, I doubt it. Unless they just made that demo.
Well, they've scrapped games in the past. I mean, Resident Evil 4, famously, it was a completely different game, and they just scrapped it. And, you know, there was the kind of traditional camera, and it was Leon fighting ghosts, and they completely scrapped that game and made Resident Evil 4 one of the greatest action games, if not one of the greatest video games of all time. Yeah. I hope Resident Evil 7 is fantastic, but it just did not grab me at all.
It's got a lot to prove. I'll be interested to see how it goes.
No, me too. Like, it's still one of the most interesting games coming out. I'm genuinely... Like, of all these games, if I could play one tomorrow, it'd probably be Resident Evil 7, because I'm like, God knows what this is going to be like. But the last one I have on the list is Watch Dogs 2, actually. The game looked a lot more fun. It looked a bit more arcadey. It wasn't taking itself so seriously. It also appeared to be absolutely ram-packed with fucking douchebags again. every character appeared to be an absolute ass monkey. And maybe I'm just getting old, but I was just like, oh my god, I just can't fucking deal with any of these clowns. But you know, the world looked impressive. It looked a lot more like Grand Theft Auto. But as I said, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to deal with the world and the people in it. But I don't know. Watch Dogs 2 grab you?
To be honest, I'm kind of burnt out on these open world third person, especially, like, basically it's the Assassin's Creed games that have done it to me. I do want to play Syndicate because I've heard good things about
it. I started playing that actually after the trailer came out. I went back and started playing Unity again. And Unity is a very well made game, and above all else, it looks absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. But I was like, all right, I'm not going to finish this because I had Syndicate sitting on the shelf. So I was like, I played it for a little bit, but I was like, I'm going to just because I'm either going to play one or the other. I'm not going to play both. So yeah. I played Unity for a bit. But I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to go straight to Syndicate. And I put it on, and it's really good. It's still Assassin's Creed, but I love jumping between the two characters. I love the fact that I felt a bit more open. And London, god damn, that game is absolutely stunning.
I remember that was the one thing. I'm one of the people who actually enjoys the Assassin's Creed stories.
No, me too. I quite enjoy them.
And I like the future. I like the sci-fi and historical elements. So I like that whole thing. But Unity, I had to step away from because I was just really not enjoying it.
That was the one. Like, it was weird because I was like, maybe I was enjoying it because I knew I wasn't gonna try and finish it. Like, because I was like, listen, I'm gonna move on to Unity, but I bought it for a few quid a while ago. I'm like, I'm gonna give it a quick go. And I think maybe because of all the grief it got, I was like, technically, this game is, at least at this point, because obviously there have been patches put in place, it's spectacular. But I knew from the start, I was like, I'm not going to finish this. And that was actually the first mainline release I didn't finish.
Me too.
I started and finished all the other ones.
Well, I've got Rogue as well.
Rogue, I don't consider a mainline. That was a kind of stopgap on 360, and I never played that.
I have that, and I've heard it's pretty good, and I've heard it's quite similar to Black Flag.
And I love Black Flag.
Black Flag was... I don't know if it was my favorite. It was my best pirate game.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the best Assassin's Creed game.
The thing is, it's weird because everyone goes on about Assassin's Creed 2, but I think it was
Brotherhood for me.
Going back to it, it's not great, but I loved the first Assassin's Creed. Because when the first Assassin's Creed came out, it had its problems and its limitations, but there was nothing like it at the time. I remember playing it and just thinking, my God, this looks fucking phenomenal. And I was so into the story, you know, the whole Apple
Evasion. Oh yeah, all that jazz. Absolutely. Like I say, I like the modern, the Abstergo element. I like the historical bit.
Yeah, I was never more into the story than in the first one. And as I said, it had its problems. And this, don't get me wrong, the second one and Brotherhood are fundamentally superior games.
Yeah,
but there was just something about the first one. As I said, it just came out at the right time, and there was nothing like it. And even I loved traveling between the cities. It was like a bigger world, I suppose. But yeah, I fucking love the first one. But yeah, Syndicate, dude, is totally worth playing. Speaking of games we've been playing, we're just going to throw this in super quickly before we go. Doom. Play fucking Doom. I wasn't going to play that. I bought it.
I want to. I just don't have that kind of cash sitting around at the moment.
The thing is, you can wait. There's no rush. But because that's going to come down in price real quick, because nobody seems to be playing the multiplayer, and I don't give a shit about the multiplayer. I'll give it a token go at some point. But I love the single player so much more than I thought I would. It's just that quick pace. Kind of like, you know, it's the
keep
goal.
Moving forward. Don't hide, don't take cover. Your health is not going to regenerate.
You have
to blow stuff up.
Yeah, well, that's how you get your energy back, by doing glory kills. So it's just that constant, the game is constantly urging you to murder things. It's
like be more violent.
You kills people with a chainsaw, you get ammo. So it's just always saying, kill people and you'll survive. And it has that great feeling. You're never kind of like going on the defensive, you know, worrying about health. You know, because we're so used to like cover shooters now and playing a bit more cautiously. This game
wait till the red disappears from your screen.
This is just telling you all the time: the closer you are to death, the more like outrageous you should be. If you're close to death, just fucking charge in head first. And it looks great, and it plays great, and it's all a bit silly. But I was going in expecting to. I was gonna buy Uncharted 4, and at the last moment, I was like, I fancy playing Doom. I've been playing something really, because I knew I was getting with Uncharted, and I will buy that at some point.
Oh, right, so you don't own it, right, okay.
No, I haven't played Uncharted 4 yet.
Okay.
And I will get around to it, but I was like, the thing is, Doom's taking me forever to play, because I've been on holiday, and I just haven't had as much chance to play video games as I'd like, but...
I doubt your commitment.
yeah, I know, it sucks. But Doom 4, play it if you can,
I do plan. I do plan on it, I'm not paying full price for it.
Oh, yeah, totally, and... As I said, that game will come down in price in no time at all. Because, as I said, nobody's playing the multiplayer. People are going to finish that campaign and they're going to trade it in. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's like 15, 20 quid in a couple of weeks. But, I think that's it. We've covered most of the games we wanted to cover. I'm sure there are loads of games we've missed out.
Yeah, but, there absolutely will be.
I apologise for all that Warcraft waffle at the start of the podcast.
We also, next week, we'll have to do a bit of a talk about Game of Thrones. I hope you're caught up or close to caught up.
I haven't watched any of it this season.
Oh wow, it's been real good this season.
That's what everyone keeps saying. I'm gonna, if I can, if there is a way for me to catch up, I'm gonna try and catch up by next week. But
yeah, you've got 9 episodes. That's going to be a lot of Game of Thrones.
It's a lot of Game of Thrones. We'll see what we can do. Well, hopefully we'll talk about Game of Thrones next season. We'll certainly talk about something. It'll be fun. Yes. It always is. Yes. But as always, thanks for listening. This has been our E3 special, and hopefully we will return to more, you know, our weekly scheduled programming. So please check out the website, brashgames.co.uk. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter. Check us out in your local newspaper, your local carrier pigeon, wherever. We're on everything. But thanks for listening, and speak again soon. Bye.
Yeah, bye.